Ever feel like family life is a test you just didn't study for? You know, you wake up to pink eye outbreaks and come home to living rooms just doused in dog pee? Hey, it's Matt O'Neill here, and you're tuning into The Good Mood Show, where we're going to turn domestic disasters into family victories. We're looking past the mess and finding the magic of the most important relationships in our lives with the master of father coaching, John Roman. Because sometimes it's the smallest notes of gratitude that remind us we're actually winning. Stay tuned as we dive into the beautiful chaos of family life and learn how to lead it just a little bit better.
Welcome to The Good Mood Show. Here's your host, Matt O'Neill.
So yesterday, my wife woke up with yellow gunk coming out of both of her eyes. Her eyes were swollen and pink. She felt like total garbage. You know, somehow, I mean, we have four kids. She got pink eye and she was just out of commission. And, you know, I love my wife so much and I just felt just really bad that she felt so bad. So thankfully I had space in my calendar and I was able to jump in because I had a lot of energy and I was feeling great. I made all four kids breakfast. I took them to school. You know, I'm like hugging them and kissing them on the way out. And then I went and saw my mom and kept our two-year-old out of the house so that Katie could just have some time to like take a shower and not have Brady chase her around. And I did all of it with a smile on my face. You know, I was feeling awesome. And I remember I was listening to a meditation, and the meditation was about how sometimes you're just exhausted and it's okay to be exhausted. And I remember thinking to this, like, dude, I'm not exhausted. I feel awesome. Well, the rest of the day happened. You know, I had a really full day and I'm running these important meetings and I kind of got in a funk because a vendor had raised our cost by $40,000 and I just found out about it in this meeting. And then I was so excited because I've been working out a ton and I had a scheduled DEXA scan, which is a way to figure out like if you're making progress on your muscle mass and dropping some percentages of fat. And I have big, you know, goals to get better. But the DEXA scan showed that I actually lost muscle mass and added fat. And so by the time I got into the driveway of my house, I just felt exhausted, just like that meditation had suggested I might. And when I walked in the door, I see Katie still so sick and she's on her hands and knees with the whole roll of paper towels, cleaning up no less than a gallon of dog pee. My 16-year-old dog sometimes just walks and pees everywhere. And she's like on her hands and knees and she's like just totally suffering. And I lost it. You know, I still had a million responsibilities last night. My oldest daughter had cheer practice. You know, there's dinner to make and Katie wasn't feeling well, but she's doing her best. And then there's dishes to do. And, you know, there's the whole bedtime routine and wrangling kids into pajamas and getting their teeth brushed. And I just didn't have the energy for it. So I wasn't in a good mood. And my oldest daughter, Harper, is my biggest cheer me up kid. She could see that I was down last night. And she asked me on the way home from cheer practice, what's going on, Dad? And, you know, I told her, I just said, hey, I had these things happen. And, you know, I'm just kind of tired tonight. I'm just not feeling it. Well, she's awesome. She left me a note on my chair that I go to journal and read in the morning. And this is it right here, John. It says, yeah, dad's positive thoughts.
Dude, that's awesome.
And I opened it up and the first thing in here, it says, I have a family of people who love me. And I didn't just flip through this incredibly thoughtful book that she created. I'm like, man, this is a gift from God right now. I took a moment. And I said, and I just thought, I just stayed on that page of I have a family of people who love me. And I thought, man, what would happen if I didn't have this family? Yeah, it's a lot of work. Sure, sometimes the dog pees. Sometimes there's pink eye and there's cheerleading and there's diapers. But man, what if God took all of it from me tomorrow? You know, what if I had never met Katie. You know, I sat with this idea that I might not be so lucky to even have this family to take care of, and it brought me to tears. And there were tears of gratitude for what I do have. And that was the moment that I got out of the funk. And, you know, today we're talking with the greatest coach I know on how to be an exceptional family man and really value the relationships that make you have the great life that you have. He's the founder of the Front Row Foundation and the founder of a group that I really respect called the Front Row Dads. And his name is John Roman. John, welcome to the Good Mood Show.
Dude, great to be here. So happy. Can we do story time every day like this? Like, can I just ring you about 11 a.m.? You tell me a story from the day before. You're a great storyteller. I think that's a real skill, by the way. I think it's a great, it's a great skill to cultivate. Some people might naturally fall into storytelling, maybe more in their lives, or they had great examples. But dude, to be able to tell a story like that so concisely and with such a tempo and cadence that somebody leans in, like, dude, I hope you tell many stories around the campfire in your life.
Man, really I appreciate cool. you saying that, man. Well, it was a true story because this was last night, and literally I woke up in that same funk, and this incredible thing was on my chair. And after I got done like wiping the tears from my eyes and how grateful I am for all the blessings in our life, I was like, I've got to incorporate this somehow when I talk with John today, because
1,000%.
This is like about being a family man, you know? And, yeah. As we said before we got on this show, you can't be in good moods if your relationships aren't right.
Yeah. It's life. You can't have one without the other. You can't have space without knowing what it means to not have space. You can't. It's the breath. That's what, right? It's you're filling your lungs and then you're letting everything go. And like the hold on, let go flow of life is everywhere. It's everything. It's the waves against the shore. It's a heartbeat. It is the pulse of life. And so you must embrace that. We talk in Front Row Dads about having range. And the range that we talk about is you can use many words to articulate it, many metaphors. But one that I like to use is this light in this dark. You know, because when you think about being a good dad, sometimes you only think about the loving, caring, you know, kind, compassionate father. But in that man is also a wounded, hurt, angry, dark, right? Version also that is within all of us. And so I think talking about that is the full expression of a human. Not that we have to talk about what's dark all the time, and we don't have to keep it light all the time, but being in a natural flow where we can talk about when we're not in a good mood and when we are in a good mood, man, it's the only conversation long-term I really want to be in. Because either end of those, if it's without the other, it's tiring to me. You only want to complain, that gets tiring to me too. And totally. If you only want to tell me what's great in your life, I'm going to get tired of you. So if we want to have all of it, if we want to have that type of honest relationship, I want to be friends.
Yeah. And we got to be that way with ourselves too.
Totally. 100%.
Because I can lie to myself that everything's good when it's not, or lie to Katie, you know, but that was when I was driving Harper home yesterday from Cheer, she could tell I wasn't my normal self. And she was like, "What's going on, Dad?" And I was like, man, do I actually have this conversation right now where I'm just being real with her that, you know, I'm not feeling so great? Or do I just say, "Oh, nothing, everything's cool"? And I was wondering what I was going to do, and I decided just to be honest with her.
Yes.
And I was just like, good. I was just like, yeah, you know, I'm just not feeling it tonight, Harp. I'm feeling exhausted. I had some tough news at work, and you know, mom's sick, and I'm just feeling tired. Like I'm just not feeling like my go get 'em self. And she's like, "I'm sorry, Dad. Is there anything I could do?" And well, I'd said no, but of course she took it on herself to do something anyway because she's so freaking cool, which is cool.
Dude,
she gets down, right? And then totally. Days that I pick her up and I can notice when she's down. So it's cool. Maybe I've modeled that so much that she's showing it back to me.
I think there's a really good chance of that. In fact, I think it's unarguable. I think that's our children are reflecting everything back to us. You know, they are the universe in this little body, and we get to see ourselves. They get to see themselves in us. Here's the other thing. I'm so glad that you were honest, because think about the dark side of not being honest. This is actually the danger of being a people pleaser. And this is what the good guys run into as a challenge, is that the kid, your child, any child, picks up on that something's not right. They're intuitive. They're feeling their body, and they have the courage and the safety, Matt, to say to you, what's up? Something's off. Like, good for you for creating safety that she could even express that. Some people are like, I'm not going to say anything because that might set them off. You know, it's like, no, you created the safety. So she said something. And then what's so cool is that if you said, no, nothing's wrong, now your feedback to your child is, don't trust yourself. You actually, the more times they know something in their truth is wrong, and you say, nope, nothing's wrong, they're miscalibrating, right? So when you're honest, you're helping them calibrate their intuition and their compassion and their connection, because that's a form of gaslighting. Your dad, child goes, what's up? Something wrong? No. That's a form of gaslighting to your children. Mm-hmm.
I love your podcast, the Front Row Dads podcast. And I listened to an episode where you talked about this, and it totally changed the way I see how I talk with my kids. And you said, be honest about everything. Yeah. Like you were like, I'll tell them anything, nothing's off limits. And you had a very similar description, and it stuck with me, man.
And to the disclaimer of that, by the way, is age appropriate,
right?
Age appropriate. So I am always determining what level of graphic articulation, visualization that I will give them. But what I always want to have in that relationship is like, he's not BSing me. Sorry. He's not BSing me.
Yeah. No, for real. It is the trust, right? The trust goes way up.
That's right.
Because then when there's something that's really serious and I need to know what's going on with them, they trust me because I've never BS'd them.
That's 100% it. Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. I get, like, here's the thing. I know somebody's listening to this and they're going, but what about this, John? What about this? And my point, whenever I make a statement like that as a father, I also feel it's really important for me to say, but you're the dad and you know the moment and you know the situation. Because if there is, like, well, in this one-off situation, in this very specific way, this is when I, because there's an ethical discussion here that's a beautiful one about this. What about Santa, John? And what about this? And what about, like, there's a beautiful conversation that emerges. And what I want people to land on at the end of the day is sovereignty, to know themselves, to know their children, and to trust that what they're doing in that moment is their best decision. So I'm not here to tell somebody how to be, how to parent. I don't think there's one way to do it. I have opinions. I'm happy to share them. And at the same time, what I want more than anything is for every man to know himself, to know what's in his spirit, to know his children because he listens and leans in, and then to make the best decision that he can in that moment and feel good about that. And if you learn something later that says you could have done it differently, well, that's growth. And then do it differently next time and try to forgive yourself and move on and learn something. But at the end of the day, man, but what men need more than anything, in my opinion, is to have a backbone and a spine and values and to be able to be decisive and to be able to choose and to be able to have a relationship with their kids where the kids go, dad's strong, dad knows himself. And if dad doesn't know himself, he'll even tell us that. Like, he is so aware and conscious and clear. That's where I feel the safest with dad.
And this isn't just about kids either.
Clearly, yes.
Because anyone in our life that asks us a question, it's in our best interest to just be honest.
Teams, marriage, and with ourselves.
We had to let an employee go, not due to performance, but due to lack of funds. And it you know, that's a tough situation to be in as a business owner. It's a tough situation for them to be in too, right? And I remember talking with her this past week, and she said, you know, what's the narrative to the team? And I said, honest. I'm just going to tell them the truth. Hey, the income that we had expected isn't what we had expected. We have to do more with less. But then my team's going to trust me because I'm just telling it how it is.
Yep.
You know, rather than spin, let's spin it. Let's spin this thing so that we can make everybody think that everything's okay. Well, they all know. I think what you just said is beautiful. We're all really intelligent, emotional beings. Like, we know everything. I think we really know everything that's going on at some level. And then we're just matching what we know inside with what's coming out of their mouth to figure out if we trust this person.
Yeah, no doubt.
So another, I reached out to you originally to get some help with my marriage. And I know you do a lot of work with men on being great husbands. And, you know, you gave a speech at an event in Austin that I saw, and I got so impacted by it. The thing you said was, so are you a family man who happens to have a business, or are you a businessman who just happens to have a family? And I'm like, oh, I'm a family man, of course. And you're like, not so fast. Before you answer that question, the real answer lies in your calendar. And you ask us to take out our calendar and take a look at where our time was spent. And you said, wherever your time is spent is your answer. And at that moment, I realized I wasn't being honest with myself. I was saying my family was the most important thing to me, and yet all of my actions were putting my business first. And after you said that, man, I'm like, I got to learn more from this guy. And there was an opportunity to donate some money to charity and have a call with you. But that really shook me. So how has that philosophy really helped your community?
Well, that one statement that you just said is, I would say 8 out of 10 people who join our community officially as a member would mention that somewhere along the way. Hey, when I heard this, I knew this was the community for me. And it's a beautiful check, a check-in. It's a beautiful data point for somebody to look at in their lives, just as you wonderfully articulated. I couldn't have said it any better. And that's a good thing to be checking in regularly on that. And then to have brothers around you that also live that way, because they will in the most nuanced and sometimes in your face way, bring that back into focus. A great example of that, you may know him, Tim Nikolaev. He's one of my best friends. He was in real estate very young, retired in his 20s. He's done great. He has 5 children. He's a wonderful guy. Lives in Europe in the summers. And yeah, like he was a guy that I looked at and I'm like, and he's very involved. He understands education. He's very active with his kids. He coaches sports. Like, he in my mind was like somebody I'd look at and go, ooh, there's a lot happening there. Now, he's not a perfect human. He would never tell you that. He struggles with certain things and learns and makes mistakes like all of us. But dude, he had a couple things really dialed in. And we sat down one time in his home office and I was asking him questions because he's a brilliant business mind and he taught at Acton Business School. And I said, hey, what about Front Row Dads? And this is the trajectory. And he said, all right, first, John, I can't talk about the business until we talk about you and your family. So what do you want your family life to look like? What do you want your personal calendar to look like? And I'd never had anybody start a how to scale your business conversation with, I'm not even going to talk to you about that until you tell me what kind of life you want to live. How many days do you want to work? How many days off do you want throughout the year? Where do you want to travel? How much freedom do you want? Let's start with time freedom. That was the first part of our conversation. Second part of the conversation is, how much money do you really need? So there's like the what you need money, there's the what you want money, and then there's like the dream money that's kind of like, well, it's kind of like, do I really need that? You know, that's fun. But so there's those 3 numbers. And he goes, let's talk about what those numbers are. Because most of what you really need to be happy and healthy as a family is probably not as big as you think. That's very attainable for people. So you have to ask, like, beyond that number, if you're like, I'm hustling in my business, one more year of growth, 30%. I got to do it for the family. I got to leave a legacy. I got to make sure a lot of that is it's not true. It's a story we tell ourselves because we're addicted to progress. We're addicted to the trophy. We're addicted to looking good. We're addicted to our buddies giving us a high five going, dude, you're so amazing. We're addicted to be important. We're addicted to building. Those addictions can take us away from our family. And then you end up with a four decade long career. It was never enough. There was never enough money. There was never enough success. And then you can't ever buy that time back. So Tim really backed me into this conversation in a very intentional way. Then we built a business that could fit into my personal life, not the other way around, which is what most people do. They build the business and they're like, all right, where am I going to fit my family in here? And how am I going to, like, you know, that's a challenging way to do it. So I share that because I know you believe in this, Matt, is the relationships that are around us that help us to stay on that track of whatever it is we care about is so important. And we hear it time and time and time again, and it's said in a thousand ways, and there's, you know, pithy quotes about it. And of course, because it's that fundamental. And so the reason it's a platitude and the reason is because it's got so much meat on the bone to that concept. And that's why our community exists. That's why I tell people all the time that we're not a content community. I don't pride myself in the 10 ways to be a great dad. I pride myself in building a brotherhood of trust so that men can come to the table and in any situation help each other. They don't come into Front Row Dads to learn from me. They might have a relationship with me or appreciate me or respect me. I respect them and appreciate them. We have as much to teach each other in any given scenario because we all have strengths. And that's the key right there. That is the key. And that's what you're doing. That's why we're having this conversation. That's why you care in the way that you do and why, you know, your conversations center around relationships. It's beautiful. So thank you, by the way. And I love that we're talking about this stuff because it's reminding me of how much I love Tim and how grateful I am for the community.
That is so cool that he started out a business meeting with, what is your family life going to look like first?
Yeah.
And Katie has said this to me so many times. How much money do we need? And like, as you said that, that was something he said to you. My wife has said that to me so many times.
Definitely.
And, you know, this past year, interest rates went up really rapidly. I was caught flat-footed in my business. I was living my time freedom, my family freedom. I was living my best life, but the business shifted so quick. I wasn't able to pivot fast enough. And then all of a sudden there was a legitimate and true fear that we could lose our house and that my family would actually be unsafe. And so I had to go into heavy work mode and figure some things out and change some things around. And after I did, and we became safe and we had our, you know, money that we need. It wasn't the money we wanted, but it was the money we needed. I didn't feel super fulfilled and I wasn't my happiest self. And so as I looked at this year and I was setting my big three priorities for the year, one of those big three priorities is profits. And another one of those big three priorities is epic family trips. And as I set my mind that, hey, I want to hit the profits that make me feel on fire, I'm becoming a better dad again. So it's a little bit of a dichotomy.
It is 100%.
Because I've got to, if when I feel on fire, I'm way better dad. Like in the story I shared to start this out, I was feeling on fire that morning.
Yep.
And then I was feeling exhausted at night, not because I was physically tired, but because the day had, some things had not gone the way that I wanted them to go. And I just, that totally made me physically tired. So sometimes if my business isn't going the way that I feel like it should go, I'm not the best dad I can be.
Dude, and the other thing is, yes, I'm so glad that you brought this up because, Matt, the truth is, look, I have one of my best friends, his net worth north of 100 million, right? doesn't need the money. The truth is he just loves what he does, loves to be around people, loves to build. I don't think he should stop making money. I don't think he should stop being around people and building something. The question is, at what point does it serve you? And you have to then ask, at what point does it serve or take away from my family? And what does that What does that integration look like? What does the harmony look like? Because the truth is, if dad needs 8 hours at work every day to feel like a human so that he can go home and be present with his kids, he should do 8 hours of work. He should, because I think men have a lot of that drive built into them. If he out of guilt says, I have enough money, I shouldn't work. I should just go be with my family. And he's at home going, I can't play another board game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he needs to go do something. He needs to go create in the world and he needs to contribute. I think that's healthy. The question that we're all wrestling with is, what's a healthy, and here's the key word, conscious decision? Can I be intentional about this? And can I know enough about myself that can I be so self-aware and have enough body intelligence that if something is out of whack, I can make a decision? The best schedule that I think, Matt, is the one that you have space and you can choose to work, but you don't have to work. That's my favorite.
I just finished Be Your Future Self Now.
Yeah.
By Ben Hardy. And I was going through my notes in it today because I was recording an episode about my biggest takeaways.
Yeah.
One of the things he said in that book was, if you're busy, it means you're out of control. And I would like underline it 4 times. I'm like, whoa, okay. He said, if you're busy, you're out of control with your priorities.
Yeah,
because you're doing things that are unimportant. So that's what you were just saying. And one of my biggest takeaways from his philosophy is exactly what you said, is that you need time to be a creator. Like, you need these free days. Dan Sullivan called them free days.
Totally.
And with that, now you can actually intentionally create your life. And there were days, you know, where my calendar was appointment, 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 like so stacked. And Katie'd be like, where are you going to eat lunch? And I'm like, I'm going to figure it out. But dude, what I was doing was putting appointments on my calendar that were not, some of them were highly important and some of them were unimportant. And I was just making myself ragged, right? So now, from that philosophy, I started to say, okay, if I could only do 3 things today, what are the 3 important things? And let's get those 3 things done. So this conversation with you is one of the most important things of the day. And there's so many other things I could do today. I've got this other list right here of like all these other things. I haven't touched it. I haven't even looked at it since I wrote it. You just kind of like download that stuff off my brain, because we got really important things to get done. If those things don't get done, they just weren't that important.
In Front Row Dads, we have 3 core values. And one of them is named Lead Domino. And this is the intentional execution of, you know, I got this from my buddy Jay Papazan, who many people know wrote The One Thing with Gary Keller. And dude, Jay has, you know, tattooed on his arm a domino. And that stuck with me over one of our breakfasts. I was like, oh, I have Front Row tattooed on my arm the same place, you know? And it's like, that's the way we live our lives. I show up in the front row, engaged, you know, present, you know, fully there. And, he taught me lead domino, and it's beautiful because that's really all it is. It's like, if I can tip that domino, I just have to have faith that if I could be smart enough to make the right chess move, you know, and I could be calm enough and I can breathe and I can think and feel my way through this, that's the way I want to live. It doesn't always look like that. Sometimes it feels busy, feels chaotic, feels I'm reactive constantly. That's part of my life also. But dude, when I'm in the pocket, you know, that feels good. When I can't miss, that feels good too.
So I know you coach a lot of people on how to be fully engaged and a great spouse. What are some of the pieces of advice you give people? Because that relationship, I think, is one of the most important for all of our happiness.
Yeah. Now, this is fresh for me because I'm interviewing Jason Gaddis in a couple of hours for my podcast. And Jason runs the Relationship School. He has a book called Getting to Zero. And I'll use this because it's fresh and because I want to give Jason a shout out here on the show. And I think his resources can be very helpful. One of the things that I think is important, I'll give a couple, and I'll give them high level, Matt, and then you can tell me if you want to pull on any of these threads and we can travel further into them. But one is an idea that you really don't work on your marriage. You work on you. and you bring a more healed, connected, loving, aware version of you to a relationship, and then a relationship naturally thrives. Like so many things, it's like you don't have to coach a plant, you know, and you don't have to tell the other trees in the forest to be nice to it. You need to make sure that plant is getting the right nutrients and the right care, and let it have its fullest expression. Like, you want to know what a great relationship is? Is when we talk about, we'll speak about men because it's just you and I, but it can be anybody in both ways. It's like a healed masculine person coming to a relationship with a healed feminine version. And I'm speaking polarity here. I'm not interested in a conversation about whether or not it has to be a man or a woman in a relationship. I'm just saying, I think that energetically, there is a alpha, omega, masculine, feminine, yin and yang, to the polar opposites, if you will. When those come together and they're healed and they're healthy, you almost by default have a thriving marriage. So that's concept one. That it's rarely two people working on their marriage that makes the biggest difference, as it is two individuals doing the work and bringing their best selves to a union. The second thing that I would say is, and maybe I'll keep it to these two so I don't go too far. The second thing I would say is rapid repair. A relationship, as I've learned, by the way, not only being in one, being in a marriage for now 17 years.
Congratulations.
But being surrounded, thank you. And by the way, I take that as like when somebody says congratulations. When I was a kid, I was like, why are you congratulating him for like the not quitting or whatever? And I'm like, dude, after you've been married for 17 years, somebody says congrats, you're like, thank you, I've earned that.
I've earned that. I got my stripes, man.
Dude, I've earned that. That's that. Thank you. That means a lot to me. It means more than when you congratulate me for running an ultra marathon. And so I think that what I've experienced, and also I've watched and felt the hearts of and witnessed the stories of 350 of our members over the last 8 years. And I've seen the community. I've listened to them pour out their hearts about what's working and what's not. I've seen the relationships that seem to be going the distance, and I've seen those that have ended. And sometimes, by the way, I think that's actually a healthy decision. That's my vote. I think it's at the right moment, there is a reason why that might be a healthy decision. But here's what it is. It's rapid repair. So it's not that it's not eliminating breakdown. Breakdown's inevitable. Conflict is inevitable. The real question is how you repair that. And we could also say, this is not just that with relationship, but with parenting and business and with yourself. The art is in the repair. How do you come back together? And what does that look like? And so when people learn how to do that, I think that is the key to a healthy marriage. And that is a lifelong study. And there have been many books written about it. And you could spend hours dissecting what that really means. But those are the two things that I would say is the individual work and then the art of repair in a relationship are the two things I would mention.
My wife and I were honored. We were asked to give a speech on having a thriving romantic marriage in front of like 250 people a few years ago. And we spoke a lot about masculine, feminine. Mm-hmm. We learned it at Date with Destiny. We both took that that time, you know, together with Tony Robbins, and it made a ton of sense to us. And we came away with a better understanding that, hey, it's okay for me to be the man. And actually, I need to be the man. And Katie started to learn to give me space to be the man. And then it's okay for her to be feminine. And she needs me to see that she's feminine. And so one of my buddies was actually messaging me today about that speech. And I said, man, you totally nailed it. I said, the masculine needs to be the one who takes care of the feminine and trusted fully to be the man and to be able to do it his way. And the feminine needs to be understood and seen by the masculine and feel completely safe to be herself fully in all expressions without being judged for it. And after I wrote that, I was reflecting on like the philosophy that I sent. And I'm like, man, the man doesn't want to be judged for how he's doing it. And the woman doesn't want to be judged for how she's doing it. And it's, you know, it's back to what you said on number one, which is work on yourself to be the best version you can be. And then trust that my wife is working on the herself to be the best version that she can be, and not tell her how to do it. Like, hey, you're not doing it right, babe. Like, you should do it this way. And Katie and I have had a lot of respect for each other in our own journeys on that. I love the second piece that you said too about rapid repair. But I think if you get number one right, you need fewer repairs. Well, John, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for bringing your incredible wisdom here. I got to meet Tim. Tim sounds, man.
I'm a good advocate for Tim. There's nothing to buy from him. You can't know. See, it's so beautiful to talk about a friend like that, right? There's nothing. You can't buy his book. You can't buy his program. You can't do anything. You just got to know Tim. We all need a Tim in our lives. That's what I would say. We all need our own version of a Tim who's honest and will challenge you and will open up and like cares for you and cares for your family. One thing I want to say, Matt, before we go, by the way, to all the parents out there, all the people out there. And I just want you to think about this. Can you live in such a way? Can you love in such a way that if anything were ever to happen to you, that people would not only just show up to your funeral and say some nice words, but that those people would want to continue to perpetuate, to love, to support your family, your spouse, your children? Is that the level of connection you have? Is that the level of family and brotherhood and community that you've cultivated? That they would nurture the spirit that you have cultivated on this planet. That is the ultimate litmus test, I believe, to the quality of your relationships in this life. Not the trades that are just business. Like the minute you stop doing your thing, there's no more value there. I'm out. Not the ones that feel obligated to show up and read a letter at your funeral, but the ones that would want to love on your legacy and your community and the spirit that you have. That's what I want to invite people to live into, that type of reality.
To do that, dude, you got to be so intentional. Like every day, who am I showing up as today and how?
Yeah.
And am I willing to just be fully present with whoever's in front of me? It's challenging, but man, it's a good
goal.
You're
doing a good job, Matt. I feel your presence here. I know people around you feel your presence. You have a great reputation. You're a loved man, and I get why you're successful, and I get why you're happy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Well, there's going to be some dudes that hear this show, just like me, that are just so drawn to wanting to be the best husband and father and family man they can be, and totally vibe with this. How can people learn more about what you do?
A great starting place is the Front Row Dads podcast. There's just incredible men opening up their hearts and sharing business to family, to health, to all the things. And then I would say, if you want to just go see what's up, frontrowdads.com, you know, got info about whatever our offerings are, and community is the main offering. So if somebody wants that, then check it out.
John, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming on and just spitting knowledge.
Thanks, brother. This was fun.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Good Mood Show with Matt O'Neill. For free resources, videos, and materials about getting into your best moods, head over to thegoodmoodshow.com. See you next week, same time, same place.